after Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory. This was during Herod's kingship. A band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews?" "We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. And not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religion scholars of the city together and asked, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory, the prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east, pretending to be as devout as they were. He got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern sky. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshiped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country.
Well, good evening. So welcome to the West Valley Center Christmas Candlelight Service. My name is Reverend Clyde Goings, and we just want to welcome you here to our beautiful service that we're going to be having tonight. And I am very, very excited. This is my second Christmas here, so I'm excited about the candlelight service. And I remember the first time I attended a candlelight service, and when lighting all the candles, I really felt the connection. So I'm very excited about tonight, and I'm also excited about the holidays because I love not only the time that we spend together with our family and friends, but I also love receiving gifts. Let me say that again. I love receiving gifts. I also enjoy giving gifts. I get a lot of joy going out and finding the right gift, the right card for that each individual person that I share that love with. So tonight, just simply allow the service to be our gift to you, because your presence is our gift to us. So if we could all just relax into our seats and close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And just simply allow my words to be yours. So as we just simply relax into this beautiful space, this beautiful, quiet, comfortable space called the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living, we allow ourselves to just breathe in this present moment, knowing that there is only God right here, right now. We allow ourselves to just simply open ourselves up and just feel the love that is present in this room, knowing that each person is that beautiful expression of the divine. Each person that we connect with is love expressing. So I know that we move into this beautiful night, not only remembering our truth, that we are that individualized expression, but remembering that we are all children of God and we are all connected. So this beautiful time, this holiday Christmas season, we simply are resting in that place of peace, in that place of love, in that place of joy, of family and friends. So I know that life is good right here, right now. 2017 is just around the corner, but right now we're sliding into Christmas. So we just simply relax into it, open up our hearts and minds, and just allow this gift of this service to fill your hearts. And we know that it's all life expressing. So I'm so grateful for this time together. I'm so grateful for each and every person in this community, because we come together not only to celebrate the divine, but to celebrate life in each one of us. So I simply release this night knowing it's all good and it's all God. And together we say, and so it is. There's going to be a song that we're going to be singing together in Oh Come On Emmanuel.
Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community. Great, great honor to be here this evening on such a wonderful occasion where we absolutely look at the pureness of this idea of the holy light. And so it is truly a season of light. It is the season of light. And this is the time of year when people from all traditions honor the return of the light. It is the winter solstice today, the first day of winter. The longest night, but tomorrow, beginning now already, the days will begin to And so there's this beautiful symbology of that idea of the return of light in this season of Christmas. In the philosophy that we teach here, the study of the science of mind, we especially acknowledge at this time of year the birth of the Christ consciousness. This is the way that the light shows up in our lives, and it is our way that we renew our own selves, very much like a brand new birth. It is the birth of holy newness yet again, but it is the birth of the Christ within. So on this great occasion, we revisit, as we do each year at this time, that very idea that as we recognize that light, as we take opportunity to have ceremony and celebration over this idea of the Christ light, that it reminds us of our own light within, and our dream, our hope, our desire for this evening is that because you have taken part in this experience, it will allow each and every one of us to look into each other's eyes as we leave here tonight and as we move through our day tomorrow, to recognize that divine light, the Christ light, in each other. This, I believe, with all my heart, is the way that we bring light to the world. The founder of this philosophy, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said this about the season of Christmas. Let us remember that unless the child of love is reborn in us, we shall have lost the meaning of the greatest spiritual lesson ever taught. And so what I know is this time we dedicate tonight to that light in this ceremony is a beautiful symbol of the great transformation of light on this planet that I also believe with my whole heart is unfolding right now. And so at this time, it is my privilege to lead this portion of this service that is about honoring the light in all faiths. And so we have a gorgeous altar that was created by Tracy Herrick for us and Bill Herrick, her husband. And we have used it for a few years now. It's a part of our beautiful tradition, just pulling that altar out and readying it for this very activity that we're going to participate in now. And to help me do this, I would like to call forward the board president of the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living, Sue Witter. Also one of our practitioners. And so, Sue, I'm going to read first, and we'll acknowledge the different spiritual traditions. And when I'm concluded with each tradition, I'll have you light a candle for that faith. So we'll start by honoring all of those who worship nature. All of the indigenous tribes, the First Nations people, the pagans, all of those traditions where nature and the natural actions of the universal laws of nature are seen in the renewals of the seasons and the offerings of prayers and blessings that celebrate the return of the sun during this period of darkness and renewal. Sue, if you'll light the first candle for the First Nations people and those who honor nature. And now we'll look at those who come from the Hindu tradition and at this beautiful tradition of light in the Hindi tradition is the Festival of Lights, symbolizing the victory of light over dark, good over evil, and knowledge over darkness. It honors the return of the Hindu god Rama to his kingdom after years of exile. And in the ancient Sanskrit epic play, the Ramayana, Lord Rama, along with his wife and brother, are welcomed back to their kingdom after the defeat of the demon King Ravana. They celebrate by lighting oil lamps, and they also celebrate Ganesha, the Lord of new beginnings and remover of obstacles. Sue, for the Hindu, please. And moving on to the Buddhist tradition, the Buddhists celebrate Bodhi Day on December 8th, which honors enlightenment. It is about the transformation of Siddhartha to the Buddha, or the Enlightened One. And according to Buddhist tradition, Siddhartha had forsaken years of extreme ascetic practices and resolved to sit under the Bodhi tree and meditate until he could discover the root of all suffering. The Buddhist tradition states that as the morning star rose in the sky in the early morning, that Siddhartha finally found the answers that he sought, and he became the awakened one, the Buddha. For Buddhists. The Jewish tradition celebrates Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts late in the season this year. And Hanukkah is about the reclaiming of the Jewish temple from the Syrians. It is about the purification rites that are used to consecrate the temple. And also in remembrance of the miracle that while they only had enough purified oil to last a single day, the oil lasted for the entire 8 days of their celebration. For the Jewish tradition. And born from the Jewish tradition, we move into Christianity. Christians who celebrate the birth of Christ, and we celebrate the birth of Christ in all. And in the words of Holmes, this is the idea of that radiant presence of the Christ love that came to the world. Let us remember, as Holmes said, that unless the child of love, a child of divine pedigree, is reborn in us, we shall have lost that special meaning of this season. For the Christian faith. And now we look at the Islamic faith. The Muslims, who have several festivals that are both joyous and sacred. The Islamic tradition includes that holy pilgrimage to the Holy Land as a way to honor their faith. And also their celebration includes sacrificing to the higher good in their commitment to leave behind bad ways of life and to replace them with good ways of life. This is demonstrated by the way they live a dedicated life, and they live this life dedicated to their faith and their spiritual practices. For the Islamic faith. And we include new thought now. We move forward to more contemporary understanding of sacred scripture and all the great metaphysicians that started before the transcendentalists but continue through this very day. All the faiths that fall in any way under the idea of new thought or the ancient wisdom teachings. This is where we find the common truth in all spiritual and philosophical and wisdom teachings. And Sue, for new thought, please. And our final candle this evening, for those who still question. for the agnostics and the atheists who honor the logic and the order of the natural cycles of life, and a tribute really to the many others who are willing to stand in this place, this very sacred place indeed, of not knowing. And Sue, if you would light the final candle for all those willing to stand in the question. Thank you. And so we have another song, and you will find the words to the song also in your program. I can't remember the song. Noel, the first Noel. Yes, indeed, the first Noel.
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel.
Reverend Cheryl, and I am delighted to be here this evening. You know, many teachings, as Reverend Karen talked about, celebrates and acknowledge the light. You know, there's certain words that I heard for many years, and I really didn't know what they had to do with me. And light was one of those things. Every year they talk about the light. Every year they talk about the light. Every year they talk about light. But what does that have to do with me? What is the light? We teach that the light is infinite intelligence. Infinite intelligence. Infinite means everywhere, with no limits. With no borders, no walls, just continuously, continuously, and continuously. That's infinite. And intelligence. Well, I haven't always stood in that idea, but now that I have taken my teaching seriously, I recognize that it is my job to expand my intelligence about life, about light, about me. Christ consciousness, we often hear of that thinking, well, that's just about Jesus. Well, it was about Jesus. And Jesus did such a good job at infinite intelligence and growing his self, his God self. That's why we keep talking about him today. But you know, I have a desire. I want them to talk about me. I want them to talk about me when I'm no longer here. And it's pretty simple. Do what Jesus did. Learn the truth. And then stand in the truth. Christ's consciousness. You know, we were in a conversation group a couple of weeks ago, and someone was talking about Jesus and how wise he was and how he knew the truth and he stood in the truth. And they were talking about when Mary had come to Jesus and said, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dying. Jesus said, he'll be all right. That's how clear he was about life. He'll be all right. That's what I want to be known for. I want to be known that when someone comes to me and say, a friend of mine is ill, I want to be able to say, right where they stand, life, health, power is right where they are, and I won't be mistaken. It is my commitment that when someone comes up to me and talk about the prosperity that they're not experiencing, for me to stand where Jesus stood in the truth of who they are and say, you'll be all right. Because right where you are, prosperity is. Know that. Stand in that. And when I do my Jesus thing, I say, And I'll stand when you don't know to stand. I'll stand in your truth. It was interesting, and I was preparing for this lesson. And of course, how do you do a candlelight lesson without dealing with the, what is light? And when did this conversation start? So, of course, I went to the Bible because you know I love the Bible. I was shocked to see that the very first let there be that God talked about, light, the very first one, let there be light. I'm pretty good at paying attention since it came to me so far in the beginning of the book. I could remember that. Chapter 1, verse 3, let there be light. What does that mean to me? Let there be the truth. Let God's be your truth. Let God's truth be your truth. That's how Jesus was known so many years later. God's truth was Jesus' truth. God's truth is my truth. I'm standing in it. You know, I recognize that a lot of people at this time, they're a little bit concerned. It looks as if the light is dimming across the nation, across the world. And I said, you know, Jesus did a thing about this. You know, when the people were all panicked about what was going on and they were concerned, and Jesus was down in the ship sleeping, and they came to him and said, Jesus. Jesus said, you'll be okay. And Jesus came up, and where there was a storm, Jesus saw the light. Jesus saw the calm. Jesus saw the sun. Jesus saw the peace. Jesus saw the truth. that is behind every cloud, the truth behind every lie, the truth behind every doubt, the truth behind any misstep. I'm gonna be like Jesus. That's pretty cool. In 2 Chronicles 19 and 6, it says, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in your judgment." You know, judgment was another conversation that we had in a conversation group, because many people think that God said, "Don't judge." That is not right. God purposely said, "Judge. I want you to judge. I want you to keep on judging." God said, "Judge righteously." How is that done? When I see sick, I know well as judging righteously, because I know it has to be present. Because it's a quality of God, so therefore it has to be present, and it has to be present when?
Now.
Oh, excuse me? It has to be present when?
Now.
See, and that's important. That's important when things are looking a little dark and light is not shining as high and bright as I want to shine. I need to know right now I stand in my power. Yeah, I'll say it again. Right now, not that I stand in my power, I stand tall. I stand steadfast. I stand without wavering. I know the truth. And I want to be like Jesus, which is no big thing. Yeah, I said it. All you have to do is see the truth. And it helps when you know that the truth is omnipresent. I don't have to make stuff up. And I have made some stuff up before. But I don't have to make anything up. All I know, this is the truth. God is whole, perfect, and complete. Jesus found his whole, perfect, complete in his Christ consciousness. And that Christ consciousness is in each one of us, waiting for us to stand in our truth, to stand in God's truth. I can do what Jesus did. I know who you are. A teacher of mine many years ago said to me, "Cheryl, it takes no great consciousness to see beauty in a rose. Anybody can see that. But I can see health in illness. I can see life in death. I can see good even when you're clowning around. I can see it. I can do what Jesus did." And we were told to do as Jesus did. So how hard can it be if that's what we're supposed to do? Come out the habit of letting our lying eyes tell us the story. No, let the truth tell us the story. That whatever you need is here. You know, I was thinking about the fact of a lot of times people think that God is going to do the work. God is going to do it. God is going to change it. God. Well, right now, God needs our help. And the reason God needs our help, because it is done on this planet as we believe. So that means that God can't do no good for someone else. And for it to have an impact, it has to come through me. I can do that. I can do that. Because I know who you are. I know you're the individualization of God, and loving you is no harder for me to love God. I know that you are the individualization of God and that health is your birthright. I can see that. I can see it. Right now, the race consciousness needs people who have Christ consciousness vision. You know, I was in a plane once, and it was all cloudy and dark, and then the plane went up above the clouds, and doggone, the most beautiful sun was shining. That's how I do my Jesus thing. That when the sun looks like it's going down, I know that the sun is shining in and through in each one of us, and I can recognize it. I can be like Jesus. All I have to do is believe in good. The challenge is many, many, many places this week we'll be talking about the goodness of mankind and how you can help the world by seeing the world is good. And yes, that is true. But I'm giving you a challenge even bigger than that. I want you to see the good in you. I want the good that you see in you to overflow in your cup so it touches the world. Overflow. I want you to know that you are good from the tips of your toes to the top of your head. You're good from the side to the side. You're good from the left to the right. You're good from the outside to the inside. But most important, you're good from the inside out. I see my good. And I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to see your good, but only after I see my good. Ernest Holmes said, give me 1,000 people, and we can make a difference to this planet. I know it's not 1,000 people in this room, but I know it's enough people in this room to make a difference to this planet where it will never be the same after today. By simply knowing you are the individualization of God, no different from Jesus, except Jesus knew who he was. I want you to expand your infinite intelligence and know that from the tips of your toes to the top of your hair, all of God is expressing whole, perfect, and complete. And if it's right here, it's got to be right there. I can make a difference in this world. I'm vowing right now in this perfect moment to change the world through me. You know, they say that sunlight takes about 8 minutes and 17 seconds to travel from the sun, the surface of the sun, to the moon. And they say that thought is faster than light. Do you know how fast you can change the world? When you can see God in yourself and overflow that for you to see God in every walking being. And even the ones that can't walk. For you to really understand, pick up your bed and walk, because you got everything you need. It's been given. You know, it's funny about me because there's one song, I love the light, I love the light, but there's one song I really don't like. And the ones that truly know me know why. This little, this little light of mine, you never hear me sing it. You never hear me sing it. I understand that the light that I have within me, I will never call little. That the light that I have within me makes a difference to this world. That the light I have within me, even on my bad days, will make a difference to somebody. This big light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And when I do, and as I do, I know it has changed the world. And so it is.